What is up, Wizards fans? Welcome to another Believe in Wizards podcast. I'm Matt Moderno, going solo here today, which honestly, I kind of hate listening to podcasts when just people by themselves. But hey, had to throw this up first thing in the morning before getting ready for work. So didn't want to bother anybody, you know, at the crack of dawn here to get this one out. So, we'll do what we can. And we'll just kind of throw a couple names out there. I want to do a couple of these quick hitters prior to the draft, which is coming up. As just a reminder, next week during the first round of the NBA draft, which is now a two-day event. Day one is obviously the first round, and day two is the second round. During day one, we'll be doing a live draft stream here. It'll be on Twitter and YouTube and all those things. We'll have a couple cool guests. And should be good. We're just going to talk through who the Wizards take with their second overall pick and the 26th pick. So I think it should be fun, and just kind of looking forward to seeing what they do. And I've kind of been on record at this point of saying, like, honestly, no matter what way they go, I think I'm going to feel good about it. There are certain guys I do or don't like more than others. But hey, this front office has kind of done enough at this point that I feel pretty good about them doing the right thing. And I think that's just like a refreshing place to be for Wizards fans. Before we get too far into this, we're brought to you by Stateside Vodka and their Surfside Hard Iced Teas. I'll be traveling, so I'm going to see if I can get them in LA where I'll be for work. So hopefully there's a couple nearby that I can kind of ease my way through the draft with, but they got all these new flavors that you should try now that's getting hot out. I think they're kind of perfect summer drink. And brought to you by Bet Online, it's your number one source for all your summer sports. Obviously, golf, MMA, UFC, all these things are going on, but the NBA playoffs are potentially wrapping up by the time you listen to this. We'll see. NHL playoffs, all those things, but there's still plenty of stuff that you can bet on. Your favorite casino and card games are always available, so you get the latest stats, news, and scores available for all your favorite teams. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports. And you can head to the website today. Use your mobile device if you want as well. Use our promo code BELIEV, BLEAV, for 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. So today, I just want to talk through like a couple guys that are sleepers. If you go to rookie scale, they have a consensus big board. And they talk about just sort of, they aggregate kind of all of the major reputable drafts and average out where they have guys ranked to kind of provide this consensus ranking. And I think that's just like a really helpful tool to get a sense of where all these guys kind of generally fall in the spectrum of things across these different boards, across these different evaluators. So you get a really good sense for where the kind of collective sees these guys. And I just took five names that are either in the second round of that mock draft or not on it anywhere in the top 60, which means they're likely to kind of go undrafted, or if they do get drafted, they'll be late second round picks. If you're the Wizards, obviously you have the 51st pick, but they're going to likely have their two-way contracts free. So I think this is a good opportunity for them to kind of come in and steal some talent. Everybody talks about this maybe being a lackluster draft. I agree. It's a little underwhelming in terms of star power at the top, but I still think teams are going to find like really good, you know, valuable role player guys with some upside potential, even in the later stages of this draft. There's always enough of those guys kind of hanging around later. So I think there's some names here that are really interesting. So like I said, I took five wings that I think are likely to go second round or later that I feel confident will kind of outperform their general consensus ranking or whatever, or draft position, or at least I'd be willing to take a chance on them doing it. So the first one up here is Kentucky's Justin Edwards. If you're familiar with Justin Edwards at all, he was kind of underwhelming, honestly. Like, this is a guy that came in as like a top 10-ish high school player, somewhere in that. I think different rankings had him different places, but you know, a lot of mock drafts had this guy as a lottery pick coming into the year, and there were just a lot of mouths to feed at Kentucky. He was a 20-ish year old freshman. He'll be 20 and a half years old on draft night. I always love the 20 and a half years old stuff, just to be really specific about how old they'll be. He's 6'7". He's consensus a 33 on the rookie scale ranking. So, you know, fringe top first roundish guy. I could see a team kind of reaching and taking him there. Maybe somebody the Wizards would even consider at 26. He averaged about 9 points a game, 3.5 rebounds, about an assist, about a steal. Did shoot about 37% from three and about 78% from the free throw line. So those are really reasonable indicators that he'll be able to shoot it. I think the case for Edwards is just he's this like high pedigree guy. A lot of these guys that don't have like stellar, you know, one and done seasons end up kind of overachieving once they get into the league. This has really been kind of the model for Golden State drafting the last couple of years. It's had varying degrees of success for them on kind of reaching for guys that underwhelmed but had high pedigrees. A lot of times guys show more at the high school level than they're able to in their specific context at the college level. So I think Edwards could be one of those guys. You saw this a little bit with AJ Griffin last year. He's been a marginal NBA player thus far, but teams took him because, you know, he had this kind of reputation coming in, and I could see maybe Edwards getting a little love for that. But like I said, at the very least, I think he's going to shoot it, and he just might need some more time to develop and kind of put his whole game together. Not really any elite traits. He's also older for a freshman, so that's really the case against. And just the fact that he never really settled in, but he did have a couple big games where he kind of really popped and you could see the full skill set. So again, I think at a certain point in the draft, it'd be worth it. If you found yourself with a spot in the 40s and he's still there, like, do you trade up and try to get back into that range to find him? That's something that might be worth considering if you're the Wizards. The next one up is Pella Larson from Arizona. Just another guy that, I don't know, a lot of people don't watch a ton of West Coast basketball, so I feel like he's kind of gone under the radar. He's about 6'6" and a half. He'll be 23.3 years old on draft night. He's 50th on the consensus ranking, averaged 12.8 points per game, 4 rebounds, about 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 turnovers. Shot around 43% from three, which is awesome. He's a career 81% free throw shooter in 4 years of college. So I think the shooting is something that like really will translate. And Larson didn't really stand out. He never really like starred for Arizona. He was just like this star role player essentially, and just made them better when he was on the court. He kind of did a little bit of everything. He stuffs the stat sheet. He's not going to like overwhelm you with like stocks, you know, steals and blocks, but I think just solid defensively. He's smart enough to kind of guard quicker players and be in the right position, strong enough to guard bigger players. So I think there's some positional versatility there. But at the very least, I think this is a guy that's like sort of a ready-made NBA role player. He basically is just scaling up a little bit exactly what he did in college to the pros, you know, tougher competition. But I think he can still do all those things. He handles it pretty well. He creates for others. I think he'll attack closeouts. So, you know, if he's a Corey Kispert-ish level closeout attacker, cutter, facilitator, plus that I think he can shoot at that level as well, but maybe even a little better defensively, and you could get him maybe with the 51st pick. Like, this is a dude I would be really interested in. I'm kind of surprised he's as low as he is, because I just think it's sort of a seamless fit for him to scale exactly what he's doing already, you know, in a pro context. And sometimes to me, like, those guys actually have an easier time adjusting. So if he was somebody that fits into an NBA rotation, you know, next year, it wouldn't really shock me. The case against him is he never really took over college games. He's a little bit older, obviously, being 23 years old. And there is a history of these guys that are sort of the jack of all trades, masters of none, you know, not really being able to translate. They don't get the opportunity if they don't come in with that one ready-made skill. I think for him, that's a little easier, because shooting 43% from three and 81% from the free throw line, I feel very confident you're going to at least shoot it at a high level. So this is a guy I think that's going to be slept on. Somebody like Baylor Shireman that's projected to go like 20 spots higher than him, I could see them being like comparable NBA players. So this could be really good value for a team that just gets like a solid adult in the room, high IQ, kind of low drama player that could fit in right away. And he's obviously used to playing that role and didn't complain at the college level. So I can't imagine complaining at the NBA level too. All right. Just one of the things in the chat, and this is something that's kind of come up routinely, is, well, the Wizards have enough wings. They shouldn't take any more wings. Well, I understand your point, but how many of them are actually here long-term? Corey's due for a contract. He might not be here long-term. Denny is obviously probably here for a long-term, and Koulibaly is probably kind of here for the long-term. I think those are pretty safe bets, but look at the teams that are winning right now and made deep playoff runs. They have multiple switchable wings that they can rotate through, and especially these guys that have multiple positions that they can guard or roles they can play offensively. That versatility is so important, and I think the good teams know that they never have enough wings. So even if you're just getting a guy at 51 or undrafted that you could potentially put on a two-way and just see if they develop, like, what's the harm? If he's the last guy on your bench and he can guard 2 through 4 or something like that, I think that's just kind of a no-brainer thing. And I've talked about this a lot on the show before previously. Wings are the hardest position to get. When there's a good wing on the free agent market, one, teams usually don't let them get there if they're actually really good. And two, they're just expensive, because the only way really to get them is to draft them. It's much easier to get a viable, you know, rotation center for a couple million dollars, but a rotation wing is going to cost you $15-ish million. And that's, obviously sort of cost prohibitive. So I think sort of value added drafting wings is always a smart choice. And, you know, it's just one of those things I would do from a roster building philosophy. And hey, if people want them to take centers and that's the best guy on their board, hey, I'm all for it. So do what you got to do. And, you know, these are just some options for them at the very least that I think they should consider. I'm obviously not saying they should take all five, but if one of them is sort of uniquely positioned for them at a certain point in the draft, it's names I hope that they've done their due diligence on at the very least. So the next guy we have here is Jalen Wells of Washington State. For me, I think I've mentioned this on the show before too. I watch a lot of West Coast basketball. I like am up weird hours. So those are the games that are on after my wife goes to sleep. So it's easy for me to catch these kind of West Coast games. And Wells is one of these guys that nobody really knew who he was before the year. He transferred in from Sonoma State, a Division II school where he played for two seasons. And so he kind of like burst onto the scene, and he's somebody that got better over the course of the year. So for a junior, he'll only be 20.8 years old on draft night. So a less than 21-year-old college junior, I think is still pretty young. And like I said, this is a guy that didn't have a ton of sample size against great competition, only really the one Pac-12 season. So you could see that as a case against. I actually see it as a case for, because I think this is clearly like a late bloomer guy. He actually didn't make his varsity team in high school until his junior year. So this is someone that's just kind of come on late. I think he's grown into his body a little bit. He's 6'7¾". He's 56th on that consensus big board I mentioned. So this year he averaged 12.6 points, 4.6 rebounds, 1.2 assists. He shot about 42% from three and 81% from the free throw line. So there's a real sample size from this one season plus his Division II seasons of him being a shooter with size. And if you can get a 6'7" rangy guy who you feel confident is a really good shooter, even if he never adds anything else to his game, that's still like a really interesting pick, you know, somewhere around 51 where the Wizards could probably still snag him. I actually think he'll end up going higher than that, because as teams get deeper and deeper into this over the next week or so, I think he's someone that's going to work out really well. The rangy wing who can shoot it is always going to be intriguing to teams. So that's, I think, a helpful thing for him to build some late momentum. He's a really good on-ball defender already. A little iffy off-ball defender. Also didn't do much in terms of stocks, you know, steals and blocks, which is something that NBA teams look for. Not the best playmaker. Got better and more comfortable with the ball in his hands, tacking closeouts, things like that over the course of the year. But the handle's still a little shaky. So I think there's room for him to scale up. He's young enough. I would expect him to still have plenty of room to grow. So to me, this is a guy that, hey, if he's there at 51, you just take him and you never look back. But again, he's probably somebody that goes higher than that, I think, ultimately. The next guy on the list is sort of a draft Twitter darling. It's Isaiah Crawford out of Louisiana Tech. He's 6'5¼". He'll actually be, for a guy that played 5 years of college basketball, he'll be 22½ on draft night. So still relatively young for a guy with multiple years of sample size here to look at. Louisiana Tech, obviously not sort of the highest of mid-major teams to play for. So he went a little under the radar, I think. He does not appear on that top 60 of that consensus big board. So this is something that you know, most sites are projecting him to go undrafted. I want to say Sam Vecenie has him in like the 40s, so that's probably higher than most. And like I said, he's a draft Twitter darling. Like people were calling him like Portsmouth Kawhi Leonard. So I got to see this guy play in person at the Portsmouth Invitational. He was just solid, you know, not overwhelming, but I think this is another guy that he just plays the role he plays. Like he can come in and be a 3-and-D guy. He'll probably never wow you, but I think it kind of fits at any level, or what he does translates kind of at the same level in any kind of setting. He averaged 16.3 points this year, 6.2 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 2.1 steals, 1.7 blocks, which I'm sure the stat friendly, you know, analysis would love. And, you know, he's 41.5% from three, which is great. Not a ton of sample size there, though, only 3.1 attempts per game, which isn't great. And he's only a 73% free throw shooter, which isn't as good as you'd like to see, but it's also not terrible. Again, not a ton of attempts. This is, like I said, more of a 3-and-D kind of guy, I think, at the you know, for the most part. So he's not going to get to the line a ton for you, but I just think he'll be like a really good high-level NBA defender from day one. He's solidly built, a good athlete, plays hard as shit. I mean, teams are just going to like this guy. So I think in workout settings, guys aren't going to want to match up with him. Like there's always those kind of couple guys every year that agents steer clear of. And I think Crawford is probably that one where if you're a lottery wing, this is not a dude you want to match up with. And obviously the lottery wings probably aren't doing a lot of 3-on-3 or things like that in their workouts, but you get my drift. Like if you're a first round wing, let's say, or if I'm Justin Edwards, who I got mentioned earlier, Crawford's guy is going to come in and take your lunch money, and he's just more physically ready to compete. So, you know, I think team will see that other people are ducking him, and that's usually kind of a good sign about this guy's an MF-er and something that, you know, that we should consider as a team. The last guy on the list here is Blake Hinson from Pittsburgh, 6'5¾". He'll be 24 and change on draft night. Again, not ranked on that consensus big board. He averaged 18.5 points per game, 4.4 rebounds, less than an assist, shot 42% for three on about 8 attempts per game, which is an awesome sample size. Only a 67% free throw shooter. I buy the shooting. Look, if you shoot 42% on eight threes a game, like you could shoot it. I'll ignore the free throw percentage in this case because he just never was a particularly good free throw shooter. He's also playing kind of a high workload offensively. So sometimes these guys get tired and they don't shoot as good from the free throw line, but it's like a potential three level scorer. Like the guy, like a Jaden Hardy was drafted to be, obviously he was younger coming in after 1 year of with the G League Ignite, and Hinson's obviously much older, but I think this is a dude that's, like I said, ready-made to be solidly built, come in, handle the ball for you a little bit even. Doesn't do a ton of playmaking. He's just going to be a solidly built wing who's ready to go from day one and can get buckets. Like you could throw him in off the bench and just say, like, go score things, and he could be a microwave guy for you. So I think that's valuable. The upside obviously isn't there. He spent 6 seasons in college, played 2 redshirt years at Iowa State, or had 2 redshirt years at Iowa State where he never actually played. And there is a history or a track record of these guys who the 3-point percentage spikes like late in their college careers after multiple years, not really translating. I think Hinson, I've seen enough of him just making like tough jumpers that I think he'll be able to make like open jumpers that he'll get in the league, which he didn't really get in college. It doesn't do much else besides scoring though, like I mentioned. So, you know, if I'm a playoff team and I just want to find a guy on a 2-way contract that I think could come give me serviceable minutes, you know, over the winter months, you know, when I've got some guys down with injuries, I think Hinson's a dude that could do that. So again, kind of lower ceiling than maybe a couple of the other guys we mentioned, but just like ready to go. And I think this is the thing I'd steer away from probably if I were the Wizards, you know, more 24-year-old 2-way contract guys. They already had Amarui, who was 27. I don't think you need a ton of those kind of dudes, but at a certain point, like talent is talent. And if he's willing to come here and you can get him, hey, you know what, just go for it. And I'm not going to kind of hold that against you. So again, I think this is really one of those like beauty is in the eye of the beholder kind of drafts here, but there are some people here. So, you know, we'll just kind of see what this looks like. And yeah, keep us in your subscribed list here on YouTube. Hit that like button for us. And if you hit updates or notifications, I guess the notifications button, you'll see when more of these are going live. We're going to sprinkle a couple of them in now in the draft. And like I mentioned, on draft night, we'll have a live draft show where we'll talk about all these guys and who could be available for the Wizards and who they should take and whatnot as the draft moves on. Again, this has been Believe in Wizards. We're presented by betonline.ag. Like I said, click that little like button for us. Someone left us a review last podcast, which I really appreciate. I will read that one when Jihadi and I record sometime later this week, probably tomorrow, I would say, sometime on Tuesday. So stay tuned for that, and we'll see how it goes. Until then, like I said, just keep following these draft prospects, and we'll probably follow up, I would say, with guards next. Seems like a safe bet, so stay tuned for that. And presented by betonline.ag, if I didn't say that.